Hello and welcome to Press TV's debate. I'm Marcia Hashemi. The United States should have never feared Iran making a nuclear bomb. This is according to Iran's Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif while talking to reporters in New York regarding the May deadline that the U.S. has given for the JCPOA to be revised or canceled. However, Zarif promised that the Islamic Republic will resume its nuclear program vigorously. Stay with us as we take a look at what all this means on this debate.
Iran once again warns the U.S. against leaving the nuclear deal between Tehran and the P5+1 group of countries, which includes Washington itself. Iran's foreign minister, Mohammad Javad Zarif, has said the Islamic Republic will vigorously resume uranium enrichment if Washington quits the deal, otherwise known as the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, JCPOA. Zarif also said some other, quote, drastic measures are under consideration in response to the possible U.S. withdrawal. The U.S. under President Donald Trump has repeatedly threatened to leave the JCPOA, quote, if the bad deal's flaws are not fixed. But there are deep divisions within the U.S. ruling establishment over whether to keep the nuclear accord, under which Iran has accepted some restrictions on its nuclear activities in return for the removal of U.S.-led sanctions against the nation.
It wouldn't be logical for Iran to stay in the nuclear agreement, have the limitations on its nuclear program, have the inspections, extensive inspections that are much more than the additional protocol, and not get any benefit out of it.
In fact, Trump is nearly alone in pushing for scrapping the JCPOA, and reports coming out of his administration say even some influential officials within his inner circle want the agreement to be kept. Meanwhile, across the Atlantic, America's European allies, which feel estranged from the U.S. under Trump, are at least on the surface supporting the deal with Iran. The latest comment related to the issue has been made by the French president. Emmanuel Macron has said he has no plan B regarding the JCPOA and that the U.S. should keep it as long as there are no other options.
Is this agreement perfect, and is JCPOA a perfect thing for our relationship with Iran? No. But for nuclear, what do you have as a better option? I don't see it. What is the what-if scenario or your plan B? I don't have any plan B for nuclear against Iran.
Media reports have, however, said the European parties to the deal and the U.S. have explored ways of, quote, fixing the agreement with the aim of convincing Trump to not ditch it. China and Russia's stance on the issue is close to Iran, which has said it will never ever accept any renegotiation of the deal. Experts say in this regard, the credibility of the three European sides of the JCPOA, namely the UK, France and Germany, is at a stake here, as should they decide to follow the US lead, their reputation will be damaged beyond repair in the international community, and they will be seen as unreliable partners. The U.S. is already notorious for reneging on its word as various administrations in Washington adopt and enforce their own policies. Whether or not Britain, France and Germany follow in the footsteps of the U.S., observers admit that international law is on Iran's side, as the UN Atomic Watchdog, the IAEA, has repeatedly confirmed the Islamic Republic's full compliance with the accord.
I'd like to welcome my guest to the program out of London, political commentator, Mr. Adam Gary, and out of Washington, D.C., columnist at The Hill, Mr. Brent Badowski. Thank you both for being with us. So let's start this off in Washington and Brent Badowski. The Iranian foreign minister has said that Washington never had any reason to fear that Iran would make a nuclear bomb. The making of such a weapon is forbidden. In Islamic law, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, has said many times that it would not be allowed. So do you really think that the U.S. from the very beginning feared Iran making a bomb, or was it all just an excuse to try to apply more pressure against Tehran?
Oh, I think the concern in the United States that Iran could someday achieve a nuclear bomb, I think was real and it was sincere. It's good, it's positive that the agreement is in effect. It's good and it's positive that the inspectors, who are respected around the world, believe that Iran has complied with the agreement. And I hope, and I know President Macron will say this to President Trump this week, that the agreement stays in effect. We're in a different state right now with the Korean negotiations reaching such a critical point. It would not be wise, and I don't think it will happen in the end, for the United States to get out of or kill the agreement with Iran right now, and hopefully not ever. Okay. But I do think there are issues of concern with the United States, and I think they should be addressed. They should be negotiated. But I hope the agreement stays. It's an open question what will happen. But there are people on both sides within the Trump administration and in Congress about what to do right now. We're at a critical moment in many parts of the world, Iran and Korea included.
And your take, Adam Gary, do you think that the United States is really concerned about Iran? You heard our guests in Washington saying that there were real concerns from the very beginning. But even now we see that the IAEA has continually said that Iran is abiding by the agreement. Why then would Washington say that this is the worst deal ever?
Well, the only concerns of the United States in terms of international policy are its business arrangements, its financial arrangements. And in this sense, the U.S. isn't a great deal different than most countries, except for the fact that where most responsible superpowers and large powers draw a certain line at going to war in order to plunder from another country and fill their own coffers, the United States not only does not have this red line, but it crosses it ad infinitum on a constant basis. We saw it with the tripartite aggression against Syria just weeks ago. We see it with the U.S. sowing discord in Armenia, which, by the way, has everything to do with Iran, as Iran is an incredibly important trading and cultural partner of the Republic of Armenia. In terms of the JCPOA in particular, the United States is being pushed around by the one country in the world that is able to do so, and that, of course, is the Zionist regime in Tel Aviv. When you listen to the speeches that Nikki Haley makes, when you listen to the speeches about the JCPOA that Trump frankly stumbles through, they are frankly a word-for-word Xerox duplicate of the things said by officials in Tel Aviv. It's as though they're two sides of different mouths but speaking with the exact same tongue. The Israeli regime has a paranoid fear about Iran, namely because the Islamic Republic of Iran is one of the few countries in the world that consistently supports a policy of freedom and justice and dignity and economic rights for the people of Palestine. So when it all comes down to it, the entire thing can be summarized in one word, and that word is Israel.
What about that, Brent Podolsky, the role that Israel plays in all of this, in your perspective?
Well, as Ronald Reagan once said, there they go again. I'm not going to dignify the lie just said from London about the Zionists and the Israel and all this. I think that insults the intelligence of our audience, and I'm not going to do that, and I'm going to ignore it when the other gentleman does, beyond what I just said. These are important issues that are being addressed. It had nothing to do with Zionism. Now, some people may insult the press TV audience thinking that's what they want to hear. I won't do that. We have problems with Iran that should be solved diplomatically. The arms inspectors are saying that Iran is keeping the agreement and honoring it, and I hope it's continued. There are improvements that can be made on both sides of this relationship, and I hope they're made. I would not commend the actions in Syria by the United States as being so evil. I think chemical war against the Syrian people is horrifying, ugly, and wrong, and I would hope all governments, including the United States, including the Russians, including the government of Iran, would condemn the mass murder of innocent people in Syria by the government of Assad and those that support it. But on the nuclear agreement with Iran, it's an important agreement. There are significant forces that want to continue it. including in the administration and Congress. There are others who want to not continue it. And I hope that common sense and reason and self-interest will prevail. I hope the agreement will be kept. I know that that's what President Macron is going to say. I know that that's what our allies in Europe believe. I think with the negotiations going on in Korea, which, by the way, may have a solution in the end, at least at first, that is like the agreement with Iran on nuclear weapons. I think we have to have a diplomatic solution in Korea to avoid a Korean war and to avoid more nuclear dangers. And it would be a mistake to be abrogating or ripping apart the agreement with Iran while we're looking for another agreement with Korea that's going to need support around the world and in Congress.
Well, Adam Gary, U.S. President Donald Trump has given the European signatories to the JCPO until May 12th. And of course, we see three European signatories heading to D.C. To try to come up with some type of revision on the agreement. Or, of course, Trump said he will cancel the U.S. part of the agreement. What do you think at this point in time that the European signatories can do? Because, of course, Iran and Russia have already said that absolutely there cannot be any revision to this deal.
Well, before turning to Europe, let me just say that there's another Israeli connection. We're talking about the illegal proliferation of nuclear weapons. Unlike North Korea, which is now in a peace process initiated between Kim Jong-un and Moon Jae-in, unlike Iran, which has never had nuclear weapons, shows no evidence of wanting them, and has explicitly said it doesn't want them, the Israeli regime has had nuclear weapons for decades. Those weapons have been held illegally, and while the Syrian government has never used chemical weapons on its own people. The only reason that Syria ever had, past tense, they don't have them anymore, according to the OPCW, the only reason they had chemical weapons was because in the late 1960s, the government in Damascus determined that they needed a cheap alternative to the nuclear weapons that Israel had. So they were a deterrent from the beginning, and now they're not even there, according to the OPCW. In terms of Europe, it's about business. The French company Total, just to name one, is doing millions upon millions in very productive deals with Iran. And when it comes to Iran, because a lot of the businessmen in Europe don't share the ideological zeal to kneel over before the Israeli regime that many of these congressmen in Washington, who are constantly lobbied by groups like AIPAC, who should register as foreign agents, by the way, these companies just want to do business. They want peace through prosperity, which is a good thing. The question for the governments in Berlin, in Paris, in London, and the EU government in Brussels is, are they going to put their foot down to the United States?
Well, what do you think about that?
That
same question
you
just said, do you think that they're
community.
Going to be able to flex some muscle with Donald Trump?
Is that for me?
No,
well, I was staying with Adam Gary. Oh, okay.
Well, they're going to need to flex their muscles, but the muscles of the EU aren't incredibly strong when going up against their usual partner, the United States.
Okay.
It's a question of this. Are the elected governments of France, Germany, Britain, and the others, are they loyal to their own business communities, or are they going to be loyal to a U.S. administration, which on this is totally following the diktats of the Zionist regime?
Okay, stay with me, Adam Gary. Brent Podolsky, your take on that. We see that these European leaders are headed to Washington. Will they be able to pressure Trump enough for him to stay, not basically get out of the JCPOA?
Well, I think they will try to be persuasive. I hope they are persuasive. There are some people in the Trump administration who agree with that point of view. There are others who don't. And I'll just say this, though, and I'm going to repeat this, because every time I see hatred, bigotry, anti-Semitism like I just heard here, paranoid conspiracy nonsense, and by the way, the lie I just heard from London that the Syrians had not done chemical weapons against their own people, we have to address the people of the world, the people of the Middle East, and the young people, particularly in Iran, with respect and integrity. And we want to have relations where there are no nuclear weapons aimed at each other. where we can have peace, where the economies of the people of the United States and Europe and Iran and Syria and everywhere can be made better by people who move beyond bigotry, move beyond anti-Semitism, move beyond slogans. And
Greg,
I don't know anybody in Britain.
It's interesting what you're saying. When you talk about moving beyond bigotry, moving beyond prejudice, it's very interesting because many would say, when we go back to the roots of this situation between the United States and Iran, and we look at the type of pressure, unbelievable pressure that has been levied against the Islamic Republic of Iran since 1979, all forms of sanctions, and from medical, not even being able to get medicine in. So you talk about, as far as having respect, you talk about human rights, but on the other hand, we see the type of pressure that Washington basically with sanctions all the time, the sanctions regime, whether we're talking about Iran, whether we're talking about Syria, whether we're talking about Russia, or we're talking about Cuba, that they continually uses this leverage and then want to sit at the table to negotiate an agreement. Isn't it Washington basically the bully on the block that is actually the impediment to peace between so many of these countries?
No, we just had an American president for 8 years, Barack Obama, who was trying to improve relations with Iran, who was trying to reach peace with Palestine and Israel, who was trying to seek nuclear arms control agreements, and who was trying to do things that would be better for the people of all countries. That was an American president doing that leadership. Now, I didn't support Trump. I don't support Trump right now. And I'm not clear, and I'm not even sure Trump is clear about what he's going to do. My point today is, though, nonsense and garbage about Zionism does not help anybody in any country. It's not true. Saying that Assad has not used chemical weapons in Syria is an outright lie. The United States is not bullying the Europeans. The Europeans are offering their advice. The United States is listening. I hope we come to agreements to keep this nuclear agreement with Iran. I hope we come somehow to avoid war in Korea and to have an agreement that would affect Korea not having nuclear weapons. I think the fears in all of the countries are to some degree justified. I think the hope from those advocating better policies in all of these countries is justified. I hope that what comes out of the Macron-Trump meetings in the next week will be a continuation of the Iran agreement. The Europeans want it because it's right and it's wise. There are people in the United States, and I include our defense secretary, General Mattis, who has said that while he didn't like everything in the agreement, his long-term public view has been that he hopes it's kept. I hope that this will be discussed between Macron and Trump. I think there is a chance. I hope we can have an agreement in Korea where I'm neither optimistic nor pessimistic.
All right, let me turn back to London. Stay with me, Washington. Now, Adam Gary, if the JCPO agreement remains as is, do you think that the U.S. will really cancel its part of it? And what exactly does that mean? Because as our guest right now, Brent Podolsky, was saying, there are many inside the U.S. Who support it. There's a split inside the states and, of course, amongst other signatories. So what would it mean, one, for the United States and for the other signatories?
Well, of course, one of the elephants in the room in this debate, which the man on the other side of the screen won't acknowledge, is Israel's nuclear weapons, illegally obtained, illegally kept. And this is a country that's been at war with every single one of its neighbors. It continues to illegally occupy Syria. It continues to threaten to invade and reoccupy Lebanon because Lebanon wants to cultivate its own offshore gas fields. It was a country that illegally attacked Iran in the 80s. It's a country that's been at war and has occupied Egypt. The list goes on and on. The second elephant in the room is, of course, the man who brushes his mustache with a Tomahawk missile, and this is John Bolton. John Bolton for years has been lobbying with groups who define themselves as Zionist for some sort of military action known as regime change against the Islamic Republic of Iran. Now, this war-hungry maniac has the ears of Donald Trump, and this is incredibly worrying. Nikki Haley, someone who's been reported as having her own ambitions to take over the White House, so to speak, is another famous person for her infamy is derived from wanting war and lots of it. She makes more threats than she makes sense, and that's increasingly becoming the rule rather than the exception. Of course, there are some members of the United States deep state of the Trump White House who do take a more rational line, knowing that, one, the European partners don't want to lose business, and that, two, any military action taken against Iran would be a global suicide mission and one whose repercussions could affect many countries, ranging from Turkey to parts of the northern Arab world to the Caucasus to Russia, and many other countries would at that point get involved. There are these voices who are motivated by caution, these people are going to want to put the brakes on. But Trump is a volatile creature, and Bolton is someone who we should all worry about very much.
And on that note, I appreciate both of you for being with us on another debate. Mr. Adam Gary, political commentator out of London, out of Washington, D.C. Mr. Brent Podowski, columnist for The Hill. And as always, viewers, we appreciate you being with us for another debate. I'm Marcia Hashemi, signing out for myself and all the crew right here in Tehran. See you next time.